The Clunker Effect.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Morning, I'm Bill Radke. You know the government's cash for clunkers deal, right? It gives you up to $4,500 to trade in your gas guzzler for a new gas sipper. So many people have been taking advantage, the program is almost out of money. So, Ford has just announced its July sales figures, and what do you know? They have been selling cars. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill. I like that term, gas sipper.
Thank you so much. So how good are those Ford numbers?
They're good. They're up 2% from last July. That is the first year-over-year increase in almost 2 years. And analysts say it would not have happened, and Ford says it wouldn't have happened, if it hadn't been for the Cash for Clunkers program.
And now the other automakers report July sales later today?
Right. We're going to hear from GM and Chrysler. They'll tell us about their sales for July. We do know that Chrysler is going to abandon its rebate of $4,500 on top of that government rebate because it's running out of cars. It's obviously been a very successful discount to chop $9,000 off the price of a car. Also, Bill, Subaru is saying it expects a 30% sales increase because of the Clunkers program.
So Clunkers helps, but where are sales compared to the good old days?
Well, we're still not anywhere near the good old days. The goal this year is going to be to reach 10 million sales in the U.S. Now, if I had told you 10 million sales 2 years ago, you would have run for the exits, gotten into your clunker, and driven off like the Dickens. Right. But now, 10 million, it looks good to people. And if that is the final number, it would allow GM and Chrysler, which are, of course, just out of bankruptcy, to break even, according to their estimates, even though it's 6 million cars less than what we were doing 2 years ago.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So Ford sales are up, and here's some more decent news. The Institute for Supply Management says manufacturing activity declined last month, but at the slowest pace in nearly a year. And the government says construction spending rose in June for the second time in 3 months. You add those together and another heyday. The S&P 500 is up 1%. The NASDAQ and the Dow are up 0.9%. So that puts the Dow plus 81 points now, 9,253. European and Asian shares were higher today as well. And let's stop a moment and take a look at that S&P 500 number again. It's at 998, but it had crossed the 1,000 mark earlier this morning. First time that's happened since the fall of 2008. Joining us live is Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So we talk about psychological barriers here, but is that just a media thing, or is the S&P 500 crossing 1,000 really a big deal?
You know, I think it's more on the margin. The more psychological aspect of the market is that this market was pricing for Armageddon and had 1936 valuations earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And the world isn't 1936. We're seeing that we're not in an Armageddon. We pulled the cord and the parachute was open, thankfully, to some quick packing by Ben Bernanke and company, I think last fall, that really averted a Great Depression 2.0. It's still the Great Recession, though, and we're in a rocky recovery. So I think it's very important to understand the psychology of going from that Armageddon view of the world to, you know, the world is, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and we might see something on the horizon. In fact, I would argue much of the psychology is less on the actual levels of these indices than on the fact that we're now seeing firms provide guidance even when they lose less money than expected, but are still losing money.
Yes.
They're actually providing some guidance on the horizon and saying, you know, we actually see a future now. Over the last 9 months, they've seen nothing.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
That gallon of milk at your breakfast table, it's about 75 cents cheaper than it was last summer. Nice if you're a shopper, not nice if you're a dairy farmer. From NET Radio in Nebraska, Sarah McCammon reports.
It's milking time at David Yeesha's farm in eastern Nebraska. Ceiling fans stir the air and flies buzz around the black and white Holstein cows as they file into the milking parlor 30 at a time. Yeesha's parents started this dairy farm after World War II. He's run the farm since the early 1970s, and today he raises about 300 cows. But now, milk prices paid to farmers are at their lowest point in 3 decades, adjusted for inflation. So Yisha says he's digging into savings and borrowing money just to keep the dairy going.
I'd just shut the door right now if I could and just sit. What do you do with the cows? You just can't dry cows up.
Some farms have been forced to shut their doors. The National Milk Producers Federation reports dairy farmers around the country are selling off part or all of their herds in desperation. Chris Galen is a spokesperson for the federation. He says the global recession is pushing down both demand and prices. That's at a time when dairy farmers face high energy and feed costs.
So farmers are caught in a vice. It's a price vice because low prices and the high price of inputs are really squeezing farmers right now.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is taking emergency steps to prop up the dairy industry. It's spending about $1 billion this year in direct payments to producers and to buy milk products. The USDA's David Lazarus says the goal is to help the industry deal with this period of low prices.
It's really this near-term gap. It's an emergency situation that we hope folks can make it through.
Back at the dairy farm, Yisha says he's receiving some support payments from USDA, about enough money to cover 10% of his losses. Outside his milking barn, the cows gather around a trough and nibble at their feed.
Yeah, when they're content, they're very quiet. If you'd come here and we'd just sit down and sit on the edge of the bunk, you know, and just not do anything, they'd be all petting you and licking you, rubbing their heads into you.
Yisha says he'll keep feeding his cows and hope milk prices bounce back soon. In eastern Nebraska, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And one more little note. I see Martha Stewart is turning 68 today, and she's working on a new web series on AOL about a 10-year-old Martha Stewart who runs an event planning company from her tricked-out treehouse. The Dow is up 83 points at 9,254. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.